something went on here, and something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
darts and casinos in Vegas.
We meet Rex the Story Wrecker.
Plus, I got to watch a Leafs game from the broadcast booth with Bartsy. We'll tell you all the details right now on TNT.
$175
Look at the view, bud. Check out the view, bud.
Ooh.
There you go.
That's some Vegas. Oh, look.
It's the water show.
The water show's going on.
You can't even see. It's the water show at the Bellagio in Las Vegas.
The Bellagio.
It goes off every, I don't know, hour on the half hour or something.
And it's just finished.
Just finished.
I think it just ended.
Did I tell you?
You can see Paris, Las Vegas there.
Yeah, there's the Eiffel Tower. Last time I was here, I think I told you this, I pulled up just as the water show was going off, and it was the Calgary Olympics theme.
The Faust?
Yeah.
The Faust. Did you see that the Faust
was
on?
Yes, of course I did.
Cue, and then Sting came in, and they had a little impromptu jam at Glenn Gould's piano.
Not bad.
Did you see that?
My Funny Valentine, right? Not bad.
Yeah, he did My Funny Valentine, but Sting decides, there's an element of, like, who's the boss vibe, right? Like, you can say, like, the Faust is laying it down on the piano, he's, you know, it's My Funny Valentine, he's just covering the root chords, he's keeping it safe, but Sting is, like, singing, but there was an element of, like, by the Faust being Canadian, he maybe thought it was like this, I'm the boss here, but then Sting reaches over and touches him on the head.
I know.
Like, the head touch was so like, hey, I'm Sting.
Right, one of us is Sting, let's not forget that.
Right in line with the Sting's kid story, like the, whatever you
think. Egg and beans?
Because like, there's enough, so yeah, the Faust kind of got owned by Sting at Q, right?
Yeah, but he got owned in a pompous off. So if you're going to lose a competition, I feel like that's an okay one to lose.
You're right.
Put it this way, Faust wasn't getting a solo. There was no way he was getting a solo in that song.
I don't
song.
Think he could have covered a solo on that song. I think he was just kind of like trying to keep it together with the, like I said, just the root chords. Just let's get through this. I didn't realize this was going to be a thing. And that's when Sting comes in and lays his hand on his noggin.
Would they have ever crossed paths before? Like, did the Faust write All for One and One for Love from Robin Hood? Didn't he? I know Bryan Adams and Rod Stewart and Sting, right?
Oh, yeah, that's not him.
Doesn't that sound like a David Foster joint?
It's Mutt Lang and, I don't think they rocked it.
Wow.
I think it was like Chicago was big as it got, right? For Faust, the Faust, the
Chicago
jams. I'd say those just Chicago jams were probably his biggest, and the one that the Rick Hansen theme, that was a pretty big
jam.
That
was huge. Jams?
St. Elmo's Fire was a big jam. That was definitely a
big
jam.
Well, St. Elmo's Fire soundtrack, that Man in Motion was on that, right?
That's what it is. That is the Rick Hansen jam.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What were the Chicago jams that the Faust did?
Well, he did that all those slow ones.
Help me now. It's time for me to say I'm sad.
Yes.
Really?
All those cheesy ones that we had to dance to when we were in grade 4.
Really?
All
the Peter Cetera jams?
Yeah, that's all David Foster.
Wow. There were some good ones. I guess I thought you'd be here forever. Was that a David Foster jam?
I think so. I'm gonna say yeah. Why not?
Like, Peter, can you try it again and pronounce it? Forever.
Yeah.
Another revolution I chose to create.
Big glassy piano with some heavy reverb.
Yeah, but at the time, I don't want to get into this with you, because you will not even concede to at the time they were bangers.
No, there's no at the time with me when it comes to music.
Hard habit to break. Yeah, man. There was a lot of, like, Chicago became a ballad band, didn't they?
Yeah, I know, because they were awesome. In the early days, they were, like, tight as hell. One of the best horn sections going. I got some Jeff Beccaro burps going on here.
What does that mean? What did you eat?
Spaghettes.
Oh, did you?
Little spaghettes with some bolognese.
Got some earpods there, eh, bud?
I got some earpods, guy. I had them last week.
I didn't notice. So are they as good as Build?
Oh, yeah. They're better, I find. But the best part is I can swing my arms.
Well, I can swing my arms.
I know, but I'm a little further back from the camera.
Well, I can be further back from the camera.
Well, I know, but you have that technique where you can, if you're on a camera, you just kind of stay still and you don't move your body. But I'm like, I move around and my arms shake and I pull off the camera. I've pulled the camera down like 3 times.
Manic energy guy. What did those say back?
It's non-camera self-awareness guy. That's my thing that I'm learning, though.
What did those set you back?
Like $230 or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I feel like they work better for the people that own them than they do for the people talking to the people that have them in.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty intermittent and pretty loud.
They're loud and they don't break up at all. And you can cruise around. The only reason I like them is just because I don't have to worry about knocking stuff down. That's it.
But we made fun of people that wore those Bluetooth things, like cab drivers that would have Bluetooths in. But these are cooler somehow.
Well, like I said, it's like I can move around and I'm not going to worry about knocking that camera down. So.
What happens if you lose one?
Then you're fucked.
Can you hear just out of one, though?
Yeah, but I mean, what's interesting is they come in this little package deal that opens, and that's the charger as well. So you can put it in here and they charge.
Oh, that had never occurred to me.
So that's kind of cool. So you kind of keep this around on you, and they charge these up, and then you put them back in.
That is kind of cool.
I think we need some pay money from Apple for me talking about that.
It's true. So I'm in the Las Vegas, and I'm working this week.
There's no hat in your room? No hat
in my room. Nothing weird like that. Although, as I think I've said before, the Bellagio is a destination. Hold on.
How long did it take you to get from the front desk to your room? Like how
7
far?
Minutes.
Yeah.
Walking at a full stride. There's a Starbucks in the complex. It's a 12-minute walk from my room.
Yeah. Don't you hate that? Like, we're like, oh yeah, we're right on the strip. But your hotel room takes you like a week to get to your room and back.
And because this hotel is a destination in and of itself, the lobby is always crammed. And people are always here taking pictures of the flowers. And people are always here gambling. And so it makes navigating the hotel a bit of a challenge. Kind of the nice thing is, our bud John Bartlett from Hockey Night in Canada is in town because he's covering Leafs and Golden Knights Thursday night.
Yeah.
He got me some press credentials.
No way!
Yeah, so I get to go to the Leafs game, Leafs Knights. I get to see the first 2 periods before I get on the red eye.
That's swank.
So I met up with Bartsy last night for a couple of cold ones, and it was a great hang, man. He's a really nice guy.
That's awesome. I love that stuff. Rebel's going 8 behind me.
Why?
I don't know. Well, Lisa's out. She's coming back in right now. This is one of our rare night episodes of TNT.
It is.
But Lisa's at a fitting for a fashion show. How about that?
Come on. When's she doing that?
Like next month with her friend Joan.
Nice.
And so she's, I think she's getting home now as it sounds like.
What type of fashions?
Dresses and whatnot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's the whatnot.
You like fashions? Do you go to fashion shows?
Never have. Have you?
Couple times.
Like you're sitting in the front row? Like,
not like New York or Paris.
Nothing fancy?
You know.
Jeremy Taggart. Tomorrow is my 10-year wedding anniversary.
Hold the socks.
I know.
Really?
Yeah, it went by fast.
That's great stuff, isn't it?
Yep. But I know we talk about our wives on the show a lot, but not a day goes by that I'm not reminded of just how lucky I am and what a wonderful person she is, and especially being away this week, like, as you know better than most, like, the amount of effort that goes into holding down the fort and keeping things going. No, superhuman effort. Yeah.
Yeah. And we both scored a couple of legends when it comes to organization and keeping down the fort.
Yeah, we sure did. And that's why I'm at least starting my journey home on our actual anniversary. So I technically get there the next morning, but yeah, it's hard to believe. How long have you guys been married?
2006, seven.
Here we go, math guy. So, how many years is that?
That's a lot. Like 13 years? 12? I know I've known her since 2004. I always picture like when I met. That's my ballpark. So it's like September 2004. So 15 years.
It's a long time.
It is. Yeah.
But are you the same people now that you were when you met, would you say?
No, we're more... Well, I'm better because of her.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Big time. I was a sloppy motherfucker. And she sorted me out.
Yep.
You know?
And that's, you sorted yourself out because you wanted to be worthy.
Well, yeah. Well, a lot of things I didn't know. That's the other stuff. Like, a lot of things about life I didn't know until I saw it in action with her. I'm like, oh, that makes sense to be like that.
Like what?
You know what I mean? Just, like, simple things like organization or, like, why we do things every day. Why stuff happens. You know what I mean? Why it's important to actually make your bed in the morning. You know, why it's important to clean up and put things in their right place.
All like just that stuff. How to keep your game tight.
Yeah. Like, actually, you can get inspired by cleaning up. Like, that was never a thing to me before, but now it's a thing.
Have you seen Tidying Up on Netflix?
No, but that's a big thing, right? And it makes sense because it's all about, I've heard about energy and stuff, like stuff that you don't want or doesn't have a purpose actually gives off like a bad vibe, which, you know, I'm all about feel and all about that stuff. Like if something in your house is just there and it just collects dust, then it actually probably shouldn't be there.
Well, she uses the phrase sparks joy, and I've only watched a couple of episodes, but she is getting this couple to get rid of extra clothes that they have. So the first thing she does is say, take all your clothes in the whole house and put them in a pile right here, and then pick up every item one at a time, and if it doesn't spark joy, you thank it for its service, and then you get rid of it.
Yeah.
Bananas. And she has these elaborate folding techniques where you fold t-shirts and kind of tent things, so when you put them in your dresser, you can see them all. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, it's... When you give inanimate objects a purpose, then it kind of adds to your life. If everything in your life is dialed in and has a reason, like, I don't need to know what kind of clothes I'm wearing for the next week, but if I go into my closet and I can see everything, and it's like, hey, you know, it's not about like looking like a store. It's just more about like coming into a place and feeling something. You know, when I was
Which
a kid,
I, totally get.
I left shit everywhere. I left food on the floor. I remember at one point in Toronto in the late 80s, when I lived in 3355 where the R.J. Logan body was found, I remember there was a bowl of, I think, peas, like a shepherd's pie or something. That bowl was sitting in, like, underneath... Like, by the edge of the bed for, like, 9 months.
How does that happen?
At least 9 months. That was the style back then. Whatever salad. You know? I remember it was... there was peas in there, and I remember the cat one day trying to eat the peas and, like, not finishing them. That's how rank it was.
Wow.
Like, a pea... crushing a couple peas and then, like... Nah, this ain't working.
Even I can't do that.
That ain't working.
Even the cow is like that. I don't understand why no one, like, just from the smell or something would pass by and pick up the bowl.
Well, no, but it got like the smell was there for maybe the first like 6 hours, and then it was just like, you know, rock hard, and then no smell. It got to the point of like, you know, like when you see wood at the bottom of the ocean and just like there, it was like mummified shepherd's pie remains. There was no meat really. It was just more peas and ketchup and shit like that.
Do you guys eat in other rooms of the house?
Now?
Like, do you take stuff up to your bedroom to eat?
No. We eat together. We try to eat together as much as we can. As a kid, there was no eating together. Not right. Once. Like, I don't remember. Maybe once or twice eating at the table. That's huge.
It's hard to do, but it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's one of the few places people have conversations nowadays. Like,
yeah.
If you hang out before bed, or if you have dinner, you know? Or, you know, that's why we're having this big vacation. So it's like, no technology, just kind of hanging, enjoying each other.
Wow, is that the deal you made with them? We'll go on this trip, no Fortnite?
Well, it's like, we'll go on this trip, and my kids aren't Fortnite crazy anyway, but I mean, it's more this trip that we're doing so much awesome stuff every day that there's no time to really be on your phone.
Right.
Or your, not that they have phones, but like your device, your iPod or whatever. So, yeah, it's going to be like, because we spent so much money on park passes, you're staying off the technology.
You did. Where did you end up committing to?
Disneyland, Universal Studios, what's the other one? San Diego Zoo.
Oh, you're doing the whole thing.
Yeah, doing everything. Legoland. But we got, I'm forgetting something. But yeah, I mean, Jack wants to even go like Pokemon at the Santa Monica Pier, you know that?
Sure.
Stuff like that, just stupid stuff like that. You know?
We did that last time we were in L.A. in October, did the Ferris wheel on the Santa Monica Pier, and it was something that I don't think I ever did when I lived there. Yeah. But it was so cool, like such a nice memory for our family, this warm fall night to be up so high overlooking the whole pier and stuff. And especially now they're at the age where they remember that stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. So we're going to be ripping up the West Coast with no technology the whole time.
That's great.
So that's good. Yeah.
Exciting, bud.
Exciting.
I would say
expensive.
Oh yeah, so really expensive. Yeah.
Let people in because we're doing the park hopper passes, and I'm not. If I'm going to fucking Universal Studios, I'm not waiting in line for 2 hours for the Harry Potter ride. So it's like the max passes and all that shit, but it's like 5 people for Disneyland is like $1,300. 5 people for Universal, it's like $1,500 for one day.
Wow. So like you upgraded nuts. Everywhere.
Yeah. So it's like, there's no waiting. It's like you go in, you go on the ride, and then, you know, it's just work. There's no excuses for not having fun.
Which I get. It's a trip of a lifetime.
Spending $1,200 or $1,100 and standing in the line for 2 hours? Like, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. That's not going to happen. There's no way.
I guess.
That's crazy.
I know.
If it's like, oh, and there's another $150 and then you never have to wait. It's like, I'm only going to this park once. I'm not going every year and 3 years from now. It's like, I gotta go, and I'm gonna see it as fast as I can and quick as I can without all the BS.
You certainly get the sense that when you see a lot of the people there that this is probably once-in-a-lifetime kind of event, and you can tell the families that have matching T-shirts and they've spent a lot of time mapping out what they're gonna do, and they have like an itemized itinerary, and you know, it's a lot of money for most families, and they do really make it count. Our experience has been, until this year really, we go and after a couple hours, somebody is kind of ready to go, so we haven't really planned anything. We probably don't maximize the park experience, but it seems to work for us okay. It just is more,
they're young though, the girls,
it's more
are
fun
still
as
young.
they're a little older now because they
want
to go on some rides and they have preferences about things.
John's gonna be 13, man. Like, that's, there's a difference, right? When they're like, oh, if I'm going, I want to rock this ride, and I'm going here, and I got plans, baby.
Is that what he wants to do? Does he want to do the roller coasters and stuff?
Well, he actually has on his birthday, he turns 13 on March 9th. So there's like this Super Smash Brothers tournament for Mario. He's really good at that game. So there's this like worldwide tournament. So we've had to like make sure we're back at the hotel with the Wi-Fi sorted so he can rock this tournament on his birthday.
Really? That's all he wants for his birthday?
That's it. That's the only like technology happening is John's doing the Super Smash Brothers tournament on his birthday. You have to be 13 to be in it, and he turns 13 on
No
that
way.
Day. So it's pretty classic.
So you spend all this dough and go to all these parks, and when he comes back, the one thing he'll say is, yeah, I was in this tournament on the thing.
Yeah,
because that's human nature, too. That's what
I mean, he's stoked about all the stuff, but it's like, that's a big deal. Like, when you're good at something and you're psyched. You're already on TV when you're John's age almost.
Yeah, just about. When we go on these trips and we do all kinds of fun stuff, it seems like the stuff that makes it into their journals is like, the waiter slipped on a fish on the floor. Like, that's your takeaway from this trip? But they remember the big moments, too. But for some reason, it's just the little ones that stick out in their minds.
Big time.
That's exciting, man.
Let's take a little break here.
Take a break, bud.
Time for a little part two of the old good times nighttime edition of
Enjoy the View of Las Vegas. Hey, guys, check it out. Dean, tell the story about the airplane.
Well, it is a pretty...
The AirPods.
Yeah, I know.
Tell the story
It's a pretty cool story. So I got on an airplane.
Just
and
a normal airplane.
A normal airplane. So I'm sitting down and I look down.
You found...
I look down and I open...
In the pouch?
Yeah, in the pouch in front of me was a set of AirPods.
Just like
AirPods
peeking
there.
Up over the top of the...
Yeah.
Little pouch.
Do you want to tell the story, Rex?
No. It's a great story and you tell it so well.
But that's... So anyway, I found the AirPods and then I...
asked the flight attendant.
The steward.
Yeah.
I asked the steward if someone had been sitting here and lost them. Hey, Rex, why don't you seriously finish the story?
No. I don't tell it nearly as good as you do.
So... They said, like, it's no big deal. I don't know who was here. This plane's
They're
been
gone
like,
now, they said.
Yeah, that's what they said.
So then...
Thanks.
Tell them the part that what you said next.
That's it. I kept them because of that look. I got them on now.
And he's wearing them now.
Yeah, I'm wearing them now. That's the story.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting ear pods for free? AirPods or ear pods?
AirPods. You wrecked it. Thanks, Rex.
Did you...
aptly named.
Tell them about how you disinfected them.
Well, I brought them home, and...
This is my favorite part.
I got some bleach from the laundry room, and I just, like, kind of
soak.
Okay, seriously,
the first
that's all
time
I did.
You put them in your ears... Remember how your ear canal turned red because you had a reaction to the Jab-X?
It hurt, yeah.
Man, I love that story.
Yeah.
That's the best story. And you still have them today. You have them right now.
Thanks, Rex.
Do you know what story of yours I always love when you tell?
What?
Would you mind?
How about we pretend we're somewhere else? Because... I'm already pretty perturbed at how you tell
a
story, so let's pretend Dean.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, what's going on, Rex?
I love...
I was just sitting here with Ben and Terry, and I was, you know, just having pizza here.
Do you mind if I join you?
Sure. Sit down.
Would you do me a favor? Would you tell the story. I was just telling someone about this the other day.
Come on.
The story about the egg salad sandwich.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I mean, okay. All right, all right, all right.
Ben and Terry, you guys are going to love this one. It's a classic.
Terry, so I'm at, listen,
the egg salad sandwich and the EpiPen. Tell it.
So
it's great.
So I'm at a Cuban restaurant?
You were at like a Cuban restaurant.
It was a Cuban restaurant. I'm at a Cuban restaurant with my cousin.
Yeah.
And we decided he wanted to have
Was it your cousin Todd or it was your cousin Eric?
Eric.
Yeah.
Eric. So Eric
Cuban
says
restaurant,
I'm gonna
Eric.
Have a
go on.
Sandwich and I'm going to and I said, "What are the specials?" to the waiter. And then the waiter says, "Well, today
egg salad sandwich."
Yeah, he said the special was egg salad sandwich. And obviously,
I don't even know, by the way, that in Cuba they have an egg salad sandwich, but go on.
You guys know that I can't have eggs because
Dean, you're losing us a little faster.
I'm allergic to eggs, okay? So I said I don't need the special. That's why I didn't answer the story about the special.
Right, but the guy didn't speak very good English, so he still brings out. Tell them what he brought out. Egg salad sandwich.
So he brought out an egg salad sandwich, and I was like,
"What?
You gotta,
I'm allergic.
I can't have this." Yeah.
But fortunately, what did you have on you?
I had my EpiPen.
Yeah. Stabbed it in his own leg.
Yeah. I bit into the sandwich thinking it was something else and I realized, no, it's not.
How do you do that? You take such a like kind of tragic event and you make the story so funny.
Yeah. I know. Okay. Let's go somewhere else.
Okay.
Okay. So here we are at, here we are sitting...
What if we're at a Jays game?
We at a Jays game?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, guys! Hey, Terry and Steve, did you guys know that, like, one time...
Oh, Dean, you're not going to tell it, are you? Are you telling the Jose Bautista story?
Yeah, I'm going to tell him the Jose Bautista story.
About how you met him at Sport Check?
Okay, guys, so anyway,
tickets to the game, you told him you're a huge fan?
They know I'm a huge fan. Seriously, I'm at Sport Check and I said, "Hey, Jose, I love you. You're amazing." He was, buying some
cleats.
Stuff for somebody.
Wasn't it cleats and a tank
cleats
top?
Cleats for somebody else. Yeah.
A tank top for his niece. Because it was their birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I said, "Hey,
and
Jose,
he's like, do you have tickets?"
I didn't even say that I was a fan of the team yet.
Oh, I guess that's my way of saying,
So, yeah, I did say,
it's Dragon.
I love the Blue Jays. You're one of my favorite players. And he asked me if I needed tickets. And
yeah.
Of course I need tickets. I love tickets. And they were playing Tampa Bay. And I said, I want to go see that game.
So then you get to the box. Sorry. You get to tell them. Tell them where the seats were.
So he says, "You want to come to the box? I got a box tonight. Just come to see the Rays game at the box. I'll set you right up."
Chicken wings, nachos, right? Everything in there.
Yeah, everything. Chicken wings, nachos, free drinks, everything. So yeah, Rex, thanks.
But tell them about Jose Bautista's family being in the box. Like, he gave you tickets in the Bautista family box. Tell them that part.
Yeah, so, yeah. Why didn't you just say that at the beginning? Because there's no... Real, nobody cares anymore. You told the whole story.
And then after the game?
I met Jose's family, and then after the game, the family liked me. They thought we had such a good time that I went to Rodney's Oyster Bar, and Jose came out.
But you're allergic to oysters, and they didn't even know that. And then remember, tell them about you when you made the Jose Can You See Star Spangled Banner joke.
No, And then I did that. I did the Jose Can You See joke.
I remember this story being better.
Yeah, me too.
When I remember, it was missing something when you were telling it tonight. Like, it just wasn't... it didn't flow, you know?
Yeah. So can we maybe go somewhere else, me and you?
Sure.
Let's go to, okay, so we're just sitting with Bill and Terry and Bob, and we're watching the Leaf game at home.
Oh, and Dean. You ordered a pizza tonight, right?
I did order a pizza.
I hope it doesn't have a toenail in it this time. Tell that story.
Okay, guys. So, I ordered a pizza one time.
It had a toenail in it.
And it had a fucking toenail in it, okay? Rex, yeah. That's the last time. I'm sick and tired of this. Every single time I tell a story, you gotta tell the story.
Oh.
Before the story.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of you.
Yeah, reminds me of what?
Yelling.
You did nothing. You did nothing again.
You yelled at me in a TGI Fridays, just like you're yelling at me now. And you got kicked out. Tell that story about getting kicked out.
Yeah, I got kicked out. I got kicked out because I said I'm sick and tired of you telling
my stories.
Telling everybody.
But this is the thing, Dean. You have the best stories. I just love the way you tell stories.
I know, but you tell the stories, and you wreck the stories by me telling the stories, and you telling the stories while I'm trying to tell the stories.
I don't think anyone else here feels that way.
I do.
You should have seen.
It's just me and you.
But the other night when you're telling that story about Jose Bautista, like, Terry, like, couldn't even, he was speechless.
Yeah, because I told the story without you telling the story.
Tell the story.
But when you tell...
Tell me the story of the other night when we were at the Jays game with Terry, and then I asked you to tell the story about Jose Bautista.
So I'm at the game.
And Jose Bautista gave you tickets in a box with his family.
Okay, listen. You know what? That's it. I swear to God, I am never. I'm not telling you anything.
I love Rex.
Like
Rex's
honestly,
stories. Really, what I love about
like
him is
every single thing that happens.
This has happened to me a couple of times this week when I'm telling a story and someone's laughing at the setup. And it's not like the setup is particularly funny, or it's not like I'm doing a bit. Like, just through naturally telling a story, people are like, right? Even if the setup is like, I was getting a coffee. Okay.
Oh, like, yeah.
People are so in.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm saying, like, you guys wouldn't believe it, I just got back from Los Angeles last week. So I got a hotel downtown.
Here we go.
I hate downtown.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I said...
right.
I was at the Standard downtown, and I said, I know you guys got one in Hollywood. Yeah. Just put...
So true, eh?
Just put me in the so they said, okay, it cost me $30. I got switched to the Standard down in Hollywood.
$30.
What? Hmm? $30, yeah. So anyway, I got the hotel downtown, like, that's it. In Hollywood.
Life. Right?
Yeah.
It's life. Right? Yeah.
So what else going on?
Do me one favor. Will you tell the story about the Ultimate Frisbee Finals? Remember when you caught the touchdown, but then it was called back?
No.
And then the ref was like, you got into an argument with the ref, and then you were kicked out of the league? Tell that story.
But that's not a story. That's true. That you just told the whole story there.
I love.
Can I tell this other story that, like, when I was like, I went to the science center.
Oh, the science center story. Yeah, the hand on the ball and the hair straight up story.
Well,
I
put my hand on the
ball and your hair stood straight up.
And then the guy came out from the back
and
he's
like,
"Hey, I've never seen hair go up like that.
Quite like that."
Like, it's crazy how your hair is, like, it's straight. Like, so we're going to send you to Washington
Subway.
For this science thing. Like, this whole thing. And, like, so they put me on a plane.
I don't know this story.
You didn't hear this story? Oh, well, perfect, because people might like this story. So I went to D.C.,
And you met the president?
Well, no, he wasn't there, but like Bill Gates was there. Einstein. You met
Melinda Gates?
Grandson. Melinda Gates wasn't there.
Tell the part about when you.
Tretiak, the goalie, was there.
Game.
Bob Saget was there.
How do I not know this story?
It's crazy. So, like, I was sitting there, and they just said, like, Shaq. Shaq was there. It was just. And I put my hand on the ball, and it went up, and my hair went straight up, and everybody gasped.
I mean, it's not much of a story.
They gasped, though. They were like, I've never seen hair do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Tell the story about when you were at summer camp and you pooed the bed that you were sharing.
Well, actually, I don't really want to tell that story. That's kind of not a real story.
Do you want me to tell it?
No, because you're making it up, actually. That didn't happen to me.
Oh, why it are you didn't? Saying that? Okay.
No.
And yeah. I don't have the pictures to prove it either.
Why would you do this, Rex?
What?
I don't
do what?
That never happened. I didn't do any of that stuff.
All right. Why don't you ever ask me to tell my story?
Remember that time at camp when I saw your sock and your sock was all hard and yellow like a rock and like hollow and it could stand up by itself? Remember that?
That was a craft.
Remember that? No, it wasn't a craft. It was all yellow and hard, yellow and stink. You know stink. What?
Story,
smelled like
stupid.
Old fish.
Story's stupid.
Yeah, it's a stupid story. Maybe we should move on to something new.
Let's take a break, bud.
Yeah, let's take a break.
That horn, bud.
Saturday morning, bud.
Ah, what a nice day.
Hey, not to brag, but I have a... number one dad mug.
Oh. I have a math mug.
Nice. I'm going to tell you something. I always...
You had a great week. Come on. What a way to finish your week. Let's talk about this.
It was a great way to finish the week. I don't like being away from home, as you know.
Yeah.
I find that I make decisions about travel based on how can I be home the longest possible...
Yeah.
So I didn't leave till 4:30 p.m. Saturday, which meant I got to Vegas at 1:30 in the morning Sunday, which is 5:30 for me, and it took me a few days to kind of catch up and get back on track. When we did the first two seggies, as you know, my energy was pretty low. I was quite tired.
Yeah.
Because the work is kind of a long thing anyway. But by the end of the week, I was on track, and Bartsy invited me to go...
Bartsy.
...watch... the broadcast, the Sportsnet broadcast of Leafs Knights from Vegas.
Swank.
Bartsy is John Bartlett, one of Sportsnet's finest. And you realize, you know, when you're watching a game and you hear the play-by-play person, you don't think about the fact that you never get a second chance to call a goal or talk about something that happened. You realize for the team, they can prepare... Okay, what should we prepare if we're doing Leafs Knights? We should probably have some tape on the last time they played. We should probably have some tape on how the Knights have been losing a lot at home lately. If they go to the morning skate and William Nylander's using a different type of tape on his stick, they should probably prepare like, oh, let's have a Nylander tape bit.
Yeah, well, anything Leafs, yeah.
But
anything
here's...
regarding anything.
Here's what they can't prepare. If Morgan Rielly... has four assists in the first period, then suddenly they have to be like, okay, the last time someone had four assists in the first period was April 21st, 2014. It was Wayne Simmonds on the Flyers. They were playing this person, and here's some tape. So I think when unexpected things happen, that's when they really earn their money because they have to go down these unexpected wormholes, you know?
Yeah, well, they live and breathe it, but yeah, you have to be on your game.
But things you don't think about.
Stuff out. Yeah. Like filling space, like you said, you have to just fill some time with something that's like going to be not just boring, but useful information that people want to hear.
So I guess there were a couple of things that I learned And again, I got to peek behind the curtain, and I don't want to ruin magic for anybody, but things that you don't think about, like there's a statistician sitting beside John Bartlett. So when he says the Knights score for a second time quickly here in the second period, the statistician hands him a note that says 4 minutes and 38 seconds.
Yeah.
So seamlessly he can say the Knights 2 goals in 4 minutes and 38 seconds. The statistician is actually unbelievable.
So do like a guy in Vegas, so the other guy, but like looking down to notes in the game, like say like kind of like your walking type voice, right? Like talking about
the Knights. Right.
So just do like the look down to the information, everything.
About Vegas stuff or about hockey? Yeah.
Just the game. Like just be the other announcer.
Zaitsev with 2 assists in the first period, a feat that hasn't happened since March 21st when the Calgary Flames were able to do that against Arizona. Is that Christopher Walken, sports broadcaster?
Well, kind of, yeah.
But I think my Christopher Walken is like, it's a bad parody of people doing bad Christopher Walken.
No, it's just Knights guy. The Knights guy, that's how it is.
No more Mr. Knights guy. Oh, the Knights guy that calls the games for them?
Yes.
It's a Wayne Newton kind of guy?
Yeah. Yeah, the Knights guy.
I'll tell you something. I want to finish about the game first, and then I'll talk about the atmosphere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Bartsy's calling the play-by-play, obviously. He's Zaitsev now moving the puck, looking down the ice for William Nylander. Puck sails just past him. Marchesso picks it up on the other side, crossing the red line, calling the game as it's happening. While that's happening, and maybe everybody knows this, while that's happening, the producer is talking to Millsy, Greg Millen, who's down between the benches, about next whistle, what should we talk about? So if there was something that looked like goaltender interference, maybe they put together a little montage with clips of the last few times Fleury has been playing more aggressively in the crease, so that when Bartlett finishes talking, Millen and the truck know, all right, we're doing a goaltender interference pack. We're going to show 3 pieces of tape of Fleury getting roughed up and how he's starting to take revenge now. So there's a whistle, and Greg Millen goes, you know, the thing about Marc-Andre Fleury is, the last few games, if you take a look at this tape, he's actually been coming out of his crease more. But that stuff, it's so seamless, and not unlike us in a way. As you can imagine, the color guy used to be right beside the play-by-play guy. Mm-hmm. So when the play-by-play guy finished, he could look at the color guy, like, over to you.
Let's roll.
But now Bartsy's way up in the broadcast room, and now they do this between the benches stuff. So it's picking up a verbal baton that you can't see.
And like you said, I'm sure after doing it many, many times over, they have that kind of beat where they want to feel like, okay, what's happening 2 minutes from now, right now? Like there's always like a continual upload
for sure.
of what's on deck, for sure. They probably don't feel safe unless they know what's happening 2 minutes from now.
Yeah, and, you know, they don't get a second chance to do that stuff either. And when you really listen, there are so few times where it's like, oh, sorry, man. No, you go. Like, they really listen and have a keen ear. There are clean rules about when you talk and when I talk. When the play is going on, I talk. But when it stops, you talk. And maybe if you know each other well enough, you can hear in someone's inflection when they're done, so you know when to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so cool. It really was. And Sean McKenzie, Bob's son, was rinkside with, I think, Chris Johnson is his name, kind of Sports Illustrated hockey insider guy.
So this is like the first second generation styles now? Like it's getting to that point? Because like broadcasting in Canada with sports is kind of...
Family business.
Like Bob McKenzie would be, you know, the figurehead of the whole thing when it started, right? So his kid's doing it now too, kind of like Corey Landsberg, right?
I didn't know that. Is Corey Landsberg a thing?
He's in the biz too, so. Generations. It's awesome.
But you think about like David Ambers in Toronto with the panel, they throw it to Sean McKenzie and Chris Johnson ice side. Then after the anthem, Bartlett takes over. I would say he has like maybe a paragraph or the first few lines dialed to set the table, right? Yeah. Valentine's Day, Las Vegas, City of Sin, look at the strip. Last time Leafs were in town, they lost. Knights haven't been playing well at home lately. Proud to bring you this Valentine's Day broadcast from Las Vegas. That's like dialed. And then everything else is just freebasing.
So the fans are nuts there, huh?
I'm going to tell you something, Jeremy. When they said they were going to have a team in Las Vegas, I was like, so for who? For tourists?
Yeah.
Like they're hoping people will travel? They love their hockey in Las Vegas.
I thought it was going to be bomb, like a bomb too. Like I thought it wouldn't work. I thought it's, like you said, just going to be people that are in from other places. But yeah, they own it. That's for sure.
I'm going to assume the Leafs is probably a team that draws the most people from away of any team.
Were there like 50-50 Leafs fans?
There were a lot of Leafs fans. There were a lot of Leafs fans, and I'm going to tell you something.
Well, think about it, like a vacation to Vegas with a Leaf game is still probably cheaper than going to a Leaf game in Toronto.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Walking up to that barn and hearing, go Leafs, go. Go Leafs, go. As you know, I'm not a Leafs fan by trade.
Not yet. Yeah.
But hearing that, it gave me chills. Like in the States, seeing this sea of blue and people chanting, go Leafs, go. Like, that's Canadianity, man.
Like being at a hip show in Berlin or something like that.
Yeah, right. Or being at a hip show in San Diego. By the way, this is my San Diego Gulls hoodie that I got for my anniversary.
Fantastic. I saw the hip in Hamburg at a little tiny club.
How many people were there?
Like 300 people in like a 500 person club.
Really?
It was mostly Canadians.
Of course.
They're like vacationing. And I'm sure that gets like annoying after a while.
But what?
I'm sure they got, this was a long time ago. Like this was probably like 98 or something like that.
I wish I'd done that. That's actually a good move to travel to go see your favorite band in a place where they don't have the profile.
Tip. Here's a tip for every Canadian going to see a band abroad. The last thing they want to hear is like, I'm Canadian.
Really?
Like it's like this connect. No, yeah, man. It's like it's not. There's a thing where bands are working and trying to break other markets, and when they keep hearing the same thing over and over, it becomes a grind where you're like, I don't want to hear that. I'm in Paris, and there's 1,100 people here.
I'm from Port Hope. Guess what? I'm from Port Hope.
You don't want to talk to 10 people that are at the show. It's like, man, you feel like you want to be breaking in that city with the people that are from that place. So
guess what? My sister went to summer camp with you.
I'm telling you. You go see the Glorious Sons or something and meet up with them.
Like, don't even tell them.
SOS song's blowing up right now in America.
Don't even tell them.
You could be in like New Orleans. Don't bother. Let it happen naturally later.
That is a hot tip, because it is the opposite of what I would have expected.
I would have thought
you're forcing a connection.
Exactly.
Huh. And
I think I would assume any notable Canadian in another place, if that's your card, unless it's like I'm from your hometown city, or like the exactly place, like a small town, you're just gonna be like, you're entering a door that's like, boring city.
What if someone came up to you and said, guess what? I'm RJ Logan's nephew, Thomas.
I'd be like, let's sit down.
Right. So unless you have uniquely inside intel, don't bother.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
I love the RJ Logan like insider bombs.
Did you almost say RJ Lady Peace?
No.
Oh.
I didn't. That's funny though. RJ, what the hell?
That's good to know, because I would say in the world, if I'm traveling somewhere and someone's like, hey, J-Rock, I'm from Sherwood Park, I'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, big difference than if you're in Vegas. It's like, J-Rock, I'm Canadian.
Well, you can imagine. I met a bunch of folks with Leaf jerseys on.
Yeah, there you go.
When I was walking into the barn, some guy goes, it's effing Jonathan Torrance. Which is a pretty funny sentence. Yeah,
especially after a Leafs win.
Look who it is. Well, I had to leave after the second period because I took the red eye. The second part of my well-intended but poorly executed travel plan, because my instinct is always to get home as quickly as I can, but the red eye, best case scenario, you get 3 hours of sleep, and you always think, well, you know what, it'll be great. I can hit the ground running when I get home. No, you can't.
You're all bent out.
You're all bent out.
So what's going on? You're all, like, right now, you didn't, like, are you up late? No, you got to go to bed early?
No, and you can't sleep. I did a back-to-bedder this morning. Like, I guess I think having half of me around is better than none of me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was dragging my heels yesterday.
Because you kept going back and forth that you're, like, pretty much in West Coast time.
Well, that's the second time in 3 weeks, and then Saturday, and then I leave for Phoenix. Because I have to do a little thing in Phoenix on the way to our tour.
So you're still in West Coast time. You might as well stay in West Coast time.
I know. So, Winnipeg, Regina, Calgary, Sherwood Park. Is that the order? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are we
I was just about to tell you about this famous, I think it was Stefan Grappelli, like a violin player. He would, like, when he toured the world, he would always play his shows at different times. So his sleep was always the same.
No way.
He'd be like, playing in Paris at
Saturday,
10
a.m. No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so he couldn't interrupt his sleep pattern. He'd be like shutting it down at 4:30 in the afternoon in Rome.
That's so selfish, but also kind of awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the only way to probably circumvent the sleep where you can't deal. Because every time I toured Europe, I was terrible at it. I couldn't get over the hump.
Well, anyway. They say it's a day for every hour of time difference, but especially if you're going over there to play and it's 3 a.m. in your mind before you even go on stage, that's the worst. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go over 6 days early just to acclimatize, because that's expensive.
And the stupidest thing to do is to have a show
the night you get there.
So, like, you fly the night before, and you get there, and it's like 2:00 in the afternoon there, and you're playing a show that night.
Oh.
Bad idea. I've been there, and it's just stupid.
So what do you do?
You gotta somehow acclimatize. Well, it always happens that the most tired you get is when you're about to go play.
No matter
if you don't have any sleep, it just comes at you in the worst period. I mean, unless you get through the show and then it happens, but it's really hard, man. It's really difficult. And the worst part is, like, you're not yourself. You're totally fine and nothing's wrong with you, but you just can't communicate as if you were, like, you might as well have had, like, 11 drinks or something like that. That's
right.
How you're just not there.
You know, you think about athletes and stuff like Tessa and Scott or the McMorris boys flying to Japan to do their sport. But
yeah, I know.
Even
I
like
don't know how they do
my
that.
Ankles, when I got home yesterday and took my boots off, my ankles were so swollen. Imagine you had to do something that physical, like your whole thing is doing triple axles or whatever.
Well, or like the Olympics, if like NHL players just are ripped right over there in like a week and they're playing a game in 2 days on a time zone that's completely on the opposite. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they can acclimatize the sleep.
I don't know either.
Yikes.
Like, all I had to do was use my mouth. And in fact, for one of the things that I did this week, I dressed up as Gritty.
You did?
Yeah. I have a picture of it. Some woman, they found a Gritty mask. Some woman on Etsy knits homemade Gritty masks.
How solid is it? Is it good?
Well,
it's like out of a 10 being Gritty and a 1 being like, our kids did it.
Okay, if I'm being honest, I was hoping that it would be a head shell that you put over your head so you couldn't see my face.
And let's be honest, I've seen other people like, hey, we have a Gritty here, and it's not Gritty, and it's awful.
It's
like
disappointing.
It's like, it's always really bad.
Okay, I'm worried that this might be more in that realm.
Like, the good Gritty cake versus the bad Gritty cake.
I think it was Gritty enough to suggest that I made it myself, which worked perfectly for this bit.
googly eyes with his eyes shaking around.
Well, no, they're not because they're knit. Like, so there's no Google. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it. It's
his eyes don't rattle.
There's no rattling. And I think, and you see my face too, which I.
Oh, that's even more messed up.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. But whoever, like someone should make gritty masks.
You got a gritty mask.
Yeah, it's not the grittiest. And I didn't have hockey pants on. I had jeans. But I did have a Flyers jersey.
Hockey pants.
Gritty was a clue on Jeopardy this week.
Well, yeah.
Gritty's arrived.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's his life.
In any event, happy to be home from the Vegas. The Bellagio was so intense. I think, like, just hundreds of people come to have their pictures taken. Thanks to the Sportsnet crew, because that was a really unique and cool experience to see a game from. You must have done that before.
Like, in the booth?
Yeah.
Not for hockey. I've gone to, Argos games with Hoagie.
Have you?
Mike Hogan. Yeah, that was fun.
And watching you were in the booth for it?
Yeah, that was cool. But,
it's just such a skill.
It's mad chops.
Yeah. Because
it's like, how long are you talking for? Like, 2.5-3 hours of just full on. They don't get to take a break. And it's like you said, there's people that can fill time with talking, but it's not the same thing as like something that they're just offering up information because they're judged so harshly.
So hard.
It's the most critical fans in the world are hockey fans on Twitter. They're nuts.
Once like
nobody knows nothing. Everybody's a GM at home.
Yeah.
Like everybody's an idiot on the air. Like everybody is a complete moron and has no clue. It's hilarious.
Well, and these new buildings, the broadcast booth is so far away from the ice.
Yeah.
And when you're calling a game, because I'm an expert now because I went to one.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're calling a game, if you don't see a tip, and you say, oh, Shea Weber scores from the blue line, and then the replay shows that it was a tip in front.
Yeah.
People are like, it wasn't Weber, man.
Yeah. Nice eyes there. Get your eyes checked. Nice eyes there,
but it's so far away. I also said, as I often do with you, like, what if you have a blister on your thumb and you can't drum? Or what if your stomach is upset? How do you do that? Yeah. I said to Bartzy, well, like, what if you have a sore throat? How do you talk? And he said, well, I did a game last year in LA with laryngitis. I was wondering this because I saw Gord Miller on the day of the storm was trying to get from wherever, Pittsburgh to Ottawa through Montreal. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, like, what happens if his flights can't, like, he just can't. Like, tries and tries and tries, but he simply can't get there. How do they do that? Sometimes they have a backup, sometimes they don't. So I was saying, like, what if your throat's sore? And he's like, well, you just have to do the show somehow. And he said, you know, I've been playing craps this week in smoky casinos, and it's not ideal, but he bangs the throat coat and just tries to get through it.
People can hack darts still in the casinos?
Oh, yeah. But different, but imagine different time zones, different climates. He was going from Vegas to Winnipeg. Like,
that's all I took out of that was, the guys hacking
darts and casinos. Big time.
Really?
Big time.
Oh, like they don't have a non-smoking area?
Maybe some casinos are, but this is like 5 a.m. slot machine darts. Like you're going to Starbucks to start your day. And people are banging darts at the Charlie's Angels one-armed bandit. Yeah, it's bananas. Anyway, good chatting, bud.
Remember airplanes with darts?
Oh, yeah. Row 10, no darts. Row 11, darts. Darts. They probably still have those in parts of Eastern Europe.
So we talked about a bit called Bad Dads, but we're going to probably have to do it next time.
I guess
time.
We'll bank it for next time.
Or we could do a couple. We could do one or two.
By the way...
One... Okay, go ahead.
By the way, Joe Schlesinger passed away.
Yeah.
Speaking of Eastern Europe and broadcasting and CBC and all that stuff, one of the
story
best
about
journalists.
The
yeah, I sat next to him on a plane.
You've talked about it on this show.
He was 90 when he passed away just now, and one of those, like, if you look back at every event that's happened in the last 5 decades, he was there. So I sat next to him on a plane once, and
He was talking about going to the Vatican to interview Pope John Paul, and it was one of those, like, can you get to the Vatican really quickly, interview and bring it back? And he got on the flight home to transcribe the tape and realized he had never pressed record in the first place. And he said, so when you think you've screwed up big, remember that story. And I do. I think about it all the time.
That's epic.
Well, he was so generous to a young guy like me to tell me that, like, don't be so hard on yourself. And that's something I think, as human beings, let alone professionally, but just in life, we forget.
Yeah.
It's easy to be real hard on yourself. There you go.
So we'll do Bad Dads next week.
We'll do Bad Dads next week?
Yeah.
All right. Mostly I like your examples of the kids' names that the bad dads have.
Like calling your kid Chrome.
Or Q-bert.
Or Link.
L-Y-N-Q. Link.
And my kid's name is Socks.
Rafferty. All right, bud. Good chatting.
Hey, buds.
Scrolly bud.
Bananas are potassium. Bananas are yellow.
Bananas, bananas come in bunches. Sometimes there's tarantulas in them. But